James chapter 1. It's one of the sermons that you're going to feel tempted to think about somebody, but I want to encourage you this morning that think of no one but yourself. Amen? I'm going to say this before you all, and God is my witness. When I was working on this message, I thought about one person in this room. God is my witness. It's not a person that I was thinking about in particular, but myself. And so you'll do harm to yourself if you're thinking about others and you're not thinking about yourself, about this message here this morning. Don't do harm to yourself this morning. Oh, we got a little bit of a ring. If we can put that down just a bit, James, that will be a blessing. So please, I beg you this morning, I beg you, I beseech you, you know, let's not veer away from saying to God this morning, speak, for thy servant heareth. Amen. Speak to me. Yeah, so many, we sometimes think, oh, wishing so-and-so was here because we want to be a blessing to them. We want them to grow and so forth. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm saying at times we think too much of that and we forfeit what God wants to do in our life and how we ought to grow. So please, I beg you this morning, think of no one but yourself. Because this message is universal. It's a universal message to all Christians. No matter where we are in the faith, we need to continue to live out this message. James chapter 1. Let's be upstanding one more time for the reading of the Word of God from verses 22 to 25. We'll pray and then we'll get into the message. Notice what the Bible says in James chapter 1. Look at verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You may be seated. In our passage before us, James is addressing Christians that were desperately in need of encouragement to continue to obey the word of God. This passage we find James say time and time again, don't be hearers. At least three times in our passage, James mentions the word hearers or hearer. Don't be a hearer only, but be a doer of the word. This gives us a good indication that these scattered believers weren't deprived of the word of God. They weren't destitute of the word of God. They had the word of God. They heard the word of God. However, like most Christians, they fall into the trap of becoming hearers only and not doers of the word of God. Warren Wiersbe said, too many Christians mark their Bibles, but their Bibles don't mark them. The greatest snare that any Christian can fall into when they come under the Word of God is simply not undertaking the Word of God. They come under it, but they don't undertake. The snare is they are convicted, but they don't carry it out. They say amen, but they don't apply the Word. It's when we hear the Word, but we're not in a hurry to do or live out the Word of God. The commandment of the Lord is simple. He wants us to be doers of the word. The psalmist said, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. A man of God once said, churches are filled with spiritual sponges who soak up the information, sit, sour, and eventually stink. Why? Because they just soak up, but they don't live out what they hear. And so there's a big difference between the hearer and the doer. And so in our passage before us, we're going to look at four things. We're going to look at the principle of obedience, the picture of disobedience. We're going to look at the prosperity of the obedient, and then the pinnacle of disobedience. Have a look at the first in verse 22. Over here it says, be ye doers, the principle of obedience. Be ye doers. It's not a suggestion. It's a command to do what? It's a command to obey. It's a command to obey, to obey. Amen? I said it's a command to obey, to obey. Over here it says, be ye doers. It's a command to obey the word of God. And so we see throughout scripture, the command was right from the beginning all the way to Revelation. We see the command to obey. You know, when you think about Adam, you know what the first thing that God said to Adam when he created Adam? You know what the first thing that he said? He commanded Adam. The Bible says in Genesis 2:16, the Lord God commanded the man. The first time he spoke to Adam, he gave him a commandment. And this is the first time that God speaks to Adam. This shows divine authority. God is God. He speaks with authority, and we are to do what he says. Now, a lot of people like that. A lot of people don't like to be under the authority of God's commands. But right from the beginning, Genesis, we see the principle of obedience. God wanted man to obey him. Hasn't changed. Revelation, we see the same. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Blessed are they that do his commandments. They have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates of the city. Being doers of the word is evidence that we're saved. It's evidence that we're saved, and the evidence is that we'll follow after the word of God, that we will be doers. Being a doer of the word of God is more than just a profession. Amen. A lot of professions today, the Bible says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he who doeth the will of God, and the will of God is found in his word. And the will of God is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first thing that God will have us to do. Amen? And so we see Christians are saved to obey God. Listen, not to rebel against God. Now, it's ironic that people call upon the name of the Lord and you see their lives not living out the will of God. They profess that they know the Lord Jesus, but they run away from him. They do not do what he commands. And he had a problem with that. He said to his disciples, why do you call me Lord if you do not do what I tell you to do? And we see that throughout scripture. It's a principle. Christians are saved to obey, not to rebel. 1 John 2, look at this. And hereby we do know that we know him. How? If we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a what? What is he? A liar. And the truth is not in him. That's evidence. That's evidence of someone who said, I know God. If you know God, you'll do what he says to do. And if you don't, you're a liar. You're an absolute liar. People say, I know God, I know Jesus, but the evidence is doing what Jesus commands you to do. And so we see that very clear. The principle of obedience is throughout Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. The command is simple, is be ye doers. Anyone that comes to the Lord will learn to obey God, not disobey God. The Holy Spirit will eventually lead them to be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Believers do not despise the word. They delight in the word. And 1 John, they says, it's not grievous to them. It's not a burden to them. It's a delight to do. Now, it might be a struggle at times. Might be difficult. But in their heart, they delight to do the will and the word of God. Like the psalmist said, I delight to do thy will, O God, my God. Yea, the law is within my heart. The psalmist says, make me go in the path of thy commandments. For therein do I delight. Now, the principle of obedience is the major, one of the majors at least, themes of the Bible. It says, be a doer of the word is what pleases God. Remember what Samuel said to Saul in 1 Samuel? He said, have the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Absolutely. God delights more in our obedience than our sacrifice. And so we see that principle. If there is anything that God loves, listen, delights in or pleases him, it's an obedient child of God. Jesus Christ was a perfect example of this. When there was a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. I am well pleased. Why? Well, Philippians chapter 2 says, because he was obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. And so being the doer of the word is what sets us apart as the children of God. In Mark chapter 3, the multitude sat about Jesus and they said, look, behold, your mother and your brethren are without, seeking for thee. And Jesus answered, you know what he answered? He said this, who is my mother and who are my brethren? For whosoever shall, what's that word? Do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Jesus makes a significant statement here regarding true discipleship. Being a doer of the word involves spiritual intimacy with Jesus Christ, which, look, far surpasses the physical bloodline of Christ. You know what Christ is trying to say here? That being a doer of the word is someone that belongs to the family of God. That's what he's saying. You can be in the bloodline of Christ, but unless you're born again, living out the word of God, you're not part of the spiritual family of God. And so being a doer of the word is proof, listen, of authentic love for Jesus Christ. If I ask people in this room who here loves Jesus, I guarantee you 99.9% will say, I do. You won't doubt it. I mean, you'll say, oh, absolutely I love Jesus. But if I said this to you, who in this room is loving Jesus? That will be different. See, love is just more than an emotion. Authentic love for Jesus Christ is an action. Someone can just say, oh, I love God, I love Jesus, I love God and love Jesus, but are you loving God? Are you loving Jesus? That's different. You can say you love many things, but the proof is how you live. And Jesus said that if you love me, you keep my word. That's what Jesus said. This very reason that why Jesus said to Peter 3 times, do you love me? 3 times he said to Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? He says, yes. Then if you love me, go and do what I tell you to do. It's more than just singing, I love Jesus. Being a doer of the word is more than just singing to Christ. It's living for Christ and doing his word. A lot of people have an emotion, but they don't follow through that emotion. Love, authentic love, is an action. It's an action. Talk is cheap, folks. Talk is cheap. That's what 1 John 3:18 says, my little children, let us love not love in word, neither in tongue, but in what? Did in deed and in truth. Talk is cheap. And we're not undermining emotion. Thank God that we can say, I love you and worship God and adore God, but our life ought to match our lips. What we say and what we do must match. We ought to be walking the talk. I don't want to be a phony Christian, Christians. I don't want to be a phony Christian saying, I love Jesus and sing to Jesus, but my life out there in the world doesn't match. And that's Christendom today. So who's the judge? Go have a look. Go have a look. Because a little child is known by their what? Doings. I see a little child, I say, okay, this is foolish. You see Christendom today, are they obeying the word of God? Obedience to the word of God is authentic love for Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Being doers of the word is the whole conclusion and duty of man. It's what Solomon said. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. The principle of obedience is throughout the whole scripture. But also have a look at the picture of disobedience. He draws our attention, if you will, to verse 23. If any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. Look at verse 24. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now in the preceding paragraph, James compares the word of God to a seed, the engrafted word. But over here, he compares it to a mirror. When you look into a mirror, what do you see? You see yourself. A mirror reveals yourself. It can actually look and see if there's any blemishes. You can look and see if there's any inconsistencies, something perhaps that needs fixing, but there's a danger that if we just look and glance in the mirror and do nothing about what we see, then the Bible says we deceive ourselves. He uses a mirror to convey a spiritual truth. For example, if I had some of you have seen this illustration before, blemishes on me, spots on my forehead, and I this morning I woke up and I just looked in the mirror and just kind of walked away and just was a glance, you know, just had a quick look and glance, and I forgot these spots were on my forehead. I said, I'll fix them up later on before I go to church, I'll fix them up. And I didn't get to it because I forgot to fix those blemishes. They weren't that much of a concern to me. But in reality, they would be a concern. Like if I saw something like that in the mirror, I'll quickly take it off. I don't want to be foolish, do I? And I don't want to embarrass myself. We make sure that we fix ourselves outwardly very perfectly. We stand in that mirror and we want to make sure we're good. We're not, you know, the button's not undone. Our hair's fixed up. We want to look presentable, and there's nothing wrong with that. Don't spend too much time in the mirror, but just enough just to, hey, fix yourself. But you know what James is portraying here? That if I look in the mirror of God's word and just quickly look away and not do anything about what I see, the blemishes, he says, I deceive myself. Person who only hears the word of God and doesn't obey it deceives themselves. I see the dirt, but I do nothing about it. You know, the word of God is more than just a history book. The Word of God is more than just a book that we get educated by. The Word of God is greater than that. The Word of God is for our reproof, our correction and instruction. And so every time we look into the Word of God, if we're in the Word or under the Word, there's always a blemish that God wants to fix in our lives. See, when we look in the mirror, we see outward blemishes, but the Word of God, we see inward problems. Every one of us has problems to fix. On this side of heaven, we'd never be perfect, but we are being perfected. At times, you'll be sitting under a sermon and you'll think, man, the Lord has worked this in my life, but He can always work something better in us. You know, there are things that we can we have victory over. There are things that we do, but God says, I want that perfected. It doesn't necessarily mean direct disobedience to God. There might be some things that God says, I'm glad that you're doing that, but I want that perfected. I want you to grow in that more and more. And so we see that he conveys it as a mirror, but the key word here is forgetteth. Have a look at verse 24. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way straightway, and he what? What's that word? Forgetteth. That's the key word. What does he forget? He forgets what he sees. He forgets what needs fixing. Now, there's a hearing of it. There's a consent of it. There's a conviction of it, but it's short-lived. But one can say amen. One can say that's true. One, oh, powerful message. But that's all. Short-lived. Go home, do nothing about it. One conviction after another conviction after another conviction. Wow, that was... But we do nothing about it. That's what he's talking about. We forget about the conviction that God is working in our heart, and it's far... Listen, it's not just hearing the principles and pictures and parables and stories from the Bible. Listen, it's hearing the conviction of God's voice. We may learn the parables and understand the parables, but if the parable or pictures of the Bible are not implied, it's for nothing. God wants us to live out the pictures and principles and parables and stories that we know from the Bible in our life. And if we don't, we deceive ourselves. The deception is just forgetting about the conviction. Walking away and doing nothing about what we've heard. You know, if we want to apply it to what James is talking about, we can back it up and say in verse 2, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. When you fall into different kinds of trials because of your faith, count it joy. But sometimes the Christian forgets. And then what happens? Complaining and murmuring takes place. Forgetful hearers. And the Bible also says in verse 5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. In verse 6, but let him ask in faith. And what happens? We hear it and we say, this is the right thing that we need to do, but we go away and we doubt God. We're waiting for the next sermon. Waiting for the next sermon. I wonder what the next sermon is going to be about. We haven't even lived out the last sermon. That's deception. That's hearers only. We forget what God is working in our lives and what God is saying here. Don't be forgetful hearers, because you're just going to be like that man that looks in the mirror and he forgets what kind of person he is. Forgets that his life needs fixing. Doesn't do anything about what he sees. Jesus also gives a picture in the parable in the Sermon on the Mount. Remember the two different builders? One was wise and one was foolish. What was the difference between the two? Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24, the Bible says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, he says, I would liken unto them a wise man that built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto who? A foolish man, which built his house upon a sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The opposite is true. What's the difference between the wise and the foolish builder? One heard the word and did it. The other one heard and did nothing about it. The ending, or the outcome, the result, proved what kind of builder was building, either on the sand or on the rock. You know, if we build upon the rock, it's a person that lives out the word of God when they hear it. They want to live it out. They want to do it. Look, it far exceeds, and I say this and say it again, us attending church. It far exceeds us ticking the boxes in our devotions. It's God speaking to our hearts, and we say yes, Lord, to the convictions that he has pressed upon our hearts. Hearing is not enough. It's the doing of it. And if we're going to do it, we need not to be forgetful about what God has worked in our hearts. We need to lay hold onto those truths that we've heard and do something about them. And by the way, if we haven't done anything about them, the Holy Spirit of God, if it's not grieved or quenched, will remind us time and time again that we need to remove those blemishes. We need change. We need fixing. Thank God for that. The seed is mentioned here in prior verses, but here he uses a mirror, the mirror of God's word. You know, God's word is like a mirror that shows us our blemishes for the purpose of blessing. That's for the, you know, God wants to show us our faults so he can help us fix them, that we may be blessed. Notice the promise of obedience. He says, look, in verse 25, but whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be what? Blessed in his deed. Now, God's promise for the obedient Christian is that God will bless him. God's blessings are true prosperity, by the way. God's blessings are true prosperity. The proverb says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, but he addeth no sorrow to it. And we want the blessings of the Lord, and the blessings of the Lord are those that are doers of the word. Blessings will come for those that are obedient Christians. You see, a lot of people, they're not obedient to the word of God. They're being blessed physically. Well, that's deception. I must be doing good because I've got a raise. No, are you obeying God? I must be doing good because, you know, look at all the material things I'm getting. I must be doing good because I'm healthy and I've got no problems. No. Are you obeying God? Because a lot of people that are obeying God and living in the will of God have problems coming. Problems will come. This church, hey, listen, they were persecuted for the faith. prosperity doesn't necessarily mean health and wealth and everything's going well for me. Prosperity is one that keeps the word of God. This person is blessed in his deeds. The foundation of God's blessing is the word of God. Have a look at verse 25. Whoso looketh in the perfect law of what? Liberty. True blessings are found in this book. Here. In this book. He says, looketh into, to look intently, not just a casual glance. The idea is looking at something more closely. Not like, you know, just quick look and no, it's the idea is to look more closely, to listen. The hearer does this. Whether they're doing their own devotions or whether they're hearing the preaching, they just can't wait to finish. That's the hearer of the word. But the doer of the word looks into the perfect law of liberty with intent, seeking to hear from God, seeking to go and live out what God commands that person to do. Now, that's what God is looking for. That's the person that will be blessed. That's the promise given to that person. The foundation is the word of God. It refers to the perfect law of liberty, which means freedom. You know there's freedom in the word of God? Only if you obey it. It's not enough just hearing. There's freedom when you obey it. You know what the world, or can't limit? Can't, not the world. The world doesn't know anything about it. Carnal Christians call it legalism. Legalistic, because you want to look into the details of God's word. Any true Christian that's liberated and has a heart to please God looks intently, looks carefully, sees if there's anything that needs fixing, and you don't have to look long enough until you see that there's plenty that needs fixing, my friends. Plenty. Yeah, plenty. A whole heap. And when one gets cleansed, another zit pops up. Amen. We look in the law of liberty. That liberates us. Doesn't hurt us. It liberates us. It helps us. Look. Wow. That was good. Praise God. He showed me my... Praise the Lord. That's what the Word of God does. It's a cleansing. It has a cleansing agent here that is able to wash away my faults, my errors, my blemishes. He is able to strengthen my weaknesses. He's able to give me victory. That's what the Word of God does. It's liberty. Liberty. It liberates us. Well, the verses before tells us that the engrafted Word of God is what? Able to save our souls. He likens it as a seed, but here it's likened as a mirror. The first is God's responsibility. The powerful word of God is able to save us. The mirror is our responsibility. The word of God, we look into the mirror, we yield to the word of God, and it's able to cleanse us. We have to yield. We have to obey, submit to whatever God shows us. You know, the word of God is able to save our souls. The word of God is able to cleanse us and to sanctify us. You know what James is referring to? Victory over sin in our lives. Victory. Because, you know, to be liberated is to be liberated from the penalty of sin. Listen, and the power of sin. A lot of people just want to be liberated from the penalty. Thank God we're going to heaven. And I'm not undermining that. But listen, there's a lot of work to be done this side of heaven as Christians. And we time and time again have to yield to the work of God done in our lives. And we just have to look in the law, the perfect law of liberty. And see how it liberates us and frees us from our addictions and lusts and different things that we have. And it helps us get right with God. John chapter 8. Look at John chapter 8 and verse 31 to 36. Jesus said to the Jews which believed on him. Notice this. He said, if ye continue my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Free. The truth will make you free. Not in bondage. Free. Freedom. There's freedom in the law of liberty. Amen. They answered him and said, we're Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. Deceived. Deceived. How saith thou You shall be made free. And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you are free indeed. We are free in Christ. But we are not free to do what we want to do outside of the book. We are free to submit to Christ and the Spirit of God that leads us to obey God. We couldn't do that when we didn't have the Spirit of God. We didn't have Christ. We couldn't do that. We were slave to sin. Even if we tried to do it, it was difficult. It was a burdensome. It was grieving. We couldn't do it. We'd be condemned. The more we try, the more condemned we'd be. But now, because Christ has freed us in the Spirit of God, He's given us the power to say yes to Him and no to sin. But we have to do it. We have to say yes. And we have to step out by faith. This is what He's talking about. There are about three elements that set us free. First of all, Jesus Christ sets us free. In Galatians 5:1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Second of all, the Holy Spirit sets us free. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. And then God's Word makes us free. You know, if we've been truly set free by the Son and have the Spirit of God living within us, then God will lead us to continue in His Word. We have been made free to obey, not to rebel. Amen? It's not legalism to have God-given convictions derived from the Word of God. It's not legalistic to live holy lives. It's not legalistic to please God and obey God. Liberty is not a license to sin. The Bible says in Romans, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. True liberty sets us free, listen, to serve God. Romans 6:22, but now being made free from sin, you became servants to God. 1 Peter 2:16, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God. Liberty is found in the book, not outside of the book. God hasn't set us free to disobey His Word. God has set us free to obey His Word. True liberty is found in the Word of God. And the psalmist can identify with that when he said, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But prosper in God's way. God's way. Not health and wealth and cars and boats and houses and holidays, and some of these are okay in their right place, amen? But you know what I'm talking about? Your Christian growth. You being holy like He's holy. You being drawn closer to God. You're free in Jesus Christ from sin and the burden of sin and depression and guilt. You're free to love others and live for God. This is the prosperity that He's talking about. When we think about prosperity, we think about, oh, God's given me a beautiful job and a beautiful house and beautiful health and beautiful family. Well, what happened to Job? Oh, he failed. No, my friend. No, he was rich. Because he knew his Redeemer liveth. He was rich because he knew the God in heaven. Yeah, what happened to Paul? I mean, when I look at all these figures in the Bible and say, poor thing, you haven't been blessed or liberated. No, liberty is found in Christ, not outside. Not outside of Christ. I can go to prison for Jesus Christ and be free. Amen. Paul was free in prison at Philippi. He was free. At Rome. He was free. He wasn't in prison. He was free because he knew the Lord and he was walking with God. He didn't have the Joneses. He didn't have to keep up with the Joneses, my friend, to be free and liberated like Hillsong tells you. No, he was keeping up with Jesus. He wasn't in Hollywood. He was in the Holy Word. Holy Word. Absolutely. But today's Christendom is twisted. Twisted. that the prosperity thinking out there think you're going to have everything going well for you, and there's nothing wrong if things do go well for you. You don't have to always live miserably. But if that came, it's you know, because you lived the Christian life, listen, that's liberty. You've been liberated. You're free in Christ. Persecuted for Christ is freedom, not bondage. That's the foundation, it's found in God's word. But notice the condition for God's promises. Look, verse 25. But whoso looketh in the perfect law of liberty and what? Continueth therein. Be not forgetful here, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. This man shall be blessed. What's the condition of the promise? To continue in. To continue in. This speaks about consistent obedience, steadfast obedience. It's constantly seeing the blemishes and continuing. Day in, day out, week in, week out. In the beginning, these believers went well. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible talks about how they continued steadfastly in four things. The apostles' doctrine, the divine teaching of the word of God, in fellowship, around the gospel, breaking of bread and in prayers. They did very well. And to be continuing steadfastly means to be earnest towards, means to be fervent, means to be unmovable. Somehow these scattered believers, because of persecution, lost that fervency. Can it happen to believers? Absolutely. That steadfastness, that continuing, you know what's really saying here? Hey, yous are need to continue. You have obeyed, continue to obey. That's what he's saying. That's why he says continue in. Don't neglect the word of God. Don't neglect obeying the word of God. Continue to obey the word of God. And that's the condition of true blessings. Faithfulness. Consistency. And that's what God is looking for. Not hit and miss. Consistency. Not hit and miss. It's common for many Christians to have a good start, isn't it? We all get up for a good start, but somehow along the line, many Christians in our day are hindered. They're hindered. Something has taken place for that person to stop obeying the word of God like they used to when they first were saved. The Galatians, it was false teachings and false doctrines. The Corinthians, it was carnality and disunity. The Laodicean, it was self-dependence and lack of depending upon God. Jesus was outside of the doors. For these Christians here, I believe it was persecution and worldliness. Persecution and worldliness. They were conforming to the world instead of transforming by the renewing of their mind. To continue in faith is to obey the word of God. That's what, you know, Paul and Barnabas encourages the new believers in Acts chapter 14 and verse 22. Notice what he says here. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to what? Continue in the faith. New Christians. And that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. To continue in the faith. To continue. Have a good start. But have a good finish. That's what he's talking about here. To continue in the faith is to obey the word of God. Paul the apostle said, I kept the faith. When he came to the end of the road, he says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Listen, I kept the faith. What was he saying? I continued to be a doer of the word. Listen, anyone in this room can be a statistic. Our past successes won't be the fuel for finishing. We must continue to obey God. And the pressure of carnality in the church and the pressure of the world will be the very thing that will stop us from honoring and living out this book. And I'm not going to let it by the grace of God. I'm not going to let it. I'm not going to let it. I'm not going to let the world and carnal Christians dumb down the seriousness of living a holy life for Jesus Christ. I'm not going to let it. I'm going to continue by the grace of God. Fight the good fight. Finish my course. Keep the faith. Absolutely. Absolutely. You can say you're not loving enough. That's your problem. I'll stand before God one day and give an account. And so you will. You will too. You will stand before God and I will stand before God. I told you this message is for me. Because the pressure of our culture and carnal Christianity dims the light of God's word and doesn't take hinders us from taking this word seriously. And then come, and Paul the apostle came a time where he says, none stood with me. What a sad moment for Paul the apostle. What a sad time. Reality is true today, my friends. Reality is true today. Very few want to keep the word of God. Oh, they're happy to hear it. They're happy to fellowship, come to church and fellowship. But doing it is the key, and not many want to do it. Why? Because it cramps their style. It doesn't go along with their culture. It doesn't go along with what they're planning to do or what they're willing to do. They want God like a genie to bless them. No, God says God blesses those that obey him. They obey his word. That's what God says. To continue in the word means to live by faith. Notice what Romans 1:17 says. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Yes. I look. Oh, wow. That's what God wants me to do. I'm going to do it. I look into the law of liberty. This is what God wants. I'm going to do it. This is what God wants me to remove. I'm going to do it. This is what God requires of me. I'm going to do it. From faith, righteousness. For seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not just the kingdom, my friend. Not just heaven, but living a righteous and holy life. Oh. Just shall walk by faith. Faith to obey the word of God. You know what happens today? Sam, would you help me out? You know what happens today? Can you just stand over here for a moment, please? I'll tell you what happens today. Your average Christian that hears the word and doesn't do it is not moving forward, is moving backwards. They're not moving forward with God. They're moving backwards. Look, see, Christians are more concerned with direct commands with the Bible. So if the Bible has directly instructed me to do something, I'm going to do it. But they fail to do the principles of the word of God. You know what direct commands are? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, have a look. Rejoice evermore. Amen? Rejoice evermore. Sing. Direct command. We know we need to sing. We need to praise God and rejoice in the Lord. Yep. Direct command. Pray without ceasing. We need to pray. And we ought to do these things. What else we see? In everything give thanks. But if you go have a look at verse 21. Principle. It is a direct command, but it's also a principle to live out. Prove all things. Put everything to the test. So put everything to the test. Abstain from all, hold fast that which is good. When you put it to the test, hold fast to it. If it's no good, abstain from it. Avoid it. Now that's a principle to be lived out in every area of our lives and everything that we do in this wicked world. I'll use myself as an example. One of the easiest things for me to do when I got saved was go to church. One of the hardest things for me to do when I got saved is to leave off Hollywood music. This is my personal conviction. Does it say anywhere in the Bible, don't watch Hollywood? Does it say it? No. No, but we have principles. See, if you live by principles, you're a legalist. That I'm just telling you the truth. If you live by standards and convictions, you'll be labeled as a legalist. You need a direct command. Well, God has given us principles that covers one generation from another generation. Amen. That's what God has given us. And so I look at that and I think, you know, to me at that time, it should have been a no-brainer, but God was working in my life. It was easy for me to give up drugs, but it was hard for me to give up music. Now, let me just say this to you. If God is pinpointing something in my life and saying, Charlie, you need to get rid of that. You need to get rid of that. And week in, week out, I say, Lord, but oh, I love it too much and so forth. And I see the blemish, but I don't clear it up and put it away or avoid the evil. This is what happens, okay? This is what happens. I'm a preacher. God is pinpointing something in my life. But I'm still here to preach, amen? This is my responsibility as a preacher. I take one step forward, right? I take one step forward. His responsibility in the church is to come and hear and sing. He's here today, take one step forward. So we're moving forward. But there's still something in my life that God is dealing with me that I'm not getting right. Two steps back. He, on the other hand, God is working in his life. God is working in his life. He's doing what he's supposed to be doing. Take one step forward. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing as perhaps a father. I take one step forward, but there's still something in my life that is not right, that God is saying through the Holy Spirit, get it out of there, Charlie. And I say, no, 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 no. Two steps back. See, the Christian life is not about just a direct command. It's easy for us to be here today. I mean, we're creatures by habit. We pray, we go to church, we sing. But what about the work of God in your heart to be holy? What about the work in your heart that God wants to do using the principles of God's word to make you all that he wants you to be? How does living a holy life look like? How does it live a separate life from the world look like? Well, it's called conviction. And the Bible says in the middle of that, quench not the spirit and despise not prophesying. That means this, when God is doing a work in your life, you better be sure to remove it and take a step of faith and say, yes, Lord. And you move forward. Yes, Lord, I'm going to remove that. I'm not going to quench the Spirit of God using despise not prophesying. What you're getting here today is forth-telling the Word of God. Don't despise it. There is a day where people are going to be hard of hearing the truth and they don't want it. They're sick and tired of it. But this is all that's going to happen, my friend. And you can go to Hillsong and you can go to all these other churches and you can get tickled. And they're not going to touch on sin and they're not going to preach on the sensitive things that you love. Yeah. You get someone on the pulpit today, say, put an axe through your TV or something like that, or cut the antenna off. Well, they start cringing because you've actually pointed something that God wants to remove that's hindering you from doing what God wants you to do. Oh, there are many factors about cutting the antenna off. Redeeming the time is one of them. For the days are evil, not only watching what you see. Oh, I can actually have that. But, you know, the Spirit of God works with other principles from the Word of God. You know that. Have a look. Notice what it says there in Psalm. I will set no what? I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. That's a principle. That's a principle. And mind you, today we don't even have to have the antenna on the TV. We've got YouTube that is full of junk and filth. And if God is telling us you need to quit something, you need to stop doing something, and you need to step forward by faith, we need to obey. It's not a direct command. It doesn't say don't go on YouTube for hours and hours. Does it say that? No, it says redeem the time. It doesn't say don't take marijuana, but it says be sober-minded. When are you going to catch up with every jug that's on the market today? No, God has given us a principle for us to live by, but the moment you live by that principle, oh, you're a legalist. That little church over there, they're going to tell you how to wear and dress and go. No, sorry, my friend, no one's saying all this, but that's what we get talked about. You have liberty in Christ to do what you want. But it's never to disobey the Word of God. Never. So I can say, I'm a preacher, man. I'm here to preach. Praise God. I'm here to sing. I'm here at church. But there's something that God is saying over and over again. Charlie, just get rid of that. How many times do I have to tell you? I say, Lord, but you know, am I moving forward? I'm not moving forward. The basic things that I'm responsible, I look like I'm moving forward. Man, I'm hearing the Word of God. I'm here hearing the Word of God. But this is our next point, and we're closing with the last point, is this. I've got no clock, so I don't know what time is it. But we'll close on the last point. Thank you, Sam. the pinnacle of disobedience. The pinnacle, the high pinnacle, what is it? If any man is not a doer of the word, but a hearer only, what happens to him? What happens to them? You know, the worst thing that can happen to a Christian is living in deception. I said the worst thing that can happen to a Christian is to live in deception. I'm doing what God's required me to do. I mean, I'm here today, but are you doing what God wants you to do throughout your whole life? What's He showing you? From the Word of God, what's He showing you to remove and bring in? What's He showing you? I mean, we can do the expected. We can do what's right. The world does it in other religions. But God wants to do a far greater work in our lives. And it's done by the power of the Holy Spirit, looking into the law of liberty and saying, God, change me. I know soul winning is right. But if I don't go soul winning and do it and follow through and consistently go through and I'm just hit and miss, then I'm not really doing what I'm supposed to be doing as a preacher or as an evangelist or as a Christian that is able to witness. We're not really doing what we're supposed to be doing. We can agree with it. We can say amen. And we can say that's right. But it's not until we live it out by faith that God is going to bless our Christian life. Amen. It's the only time that God will bless us. It's when we do the work of God by faith. The doer of the work. Because when you obey the word of God, it leads you to do the work of God. And doing the work of God brings about showers of blessings, my friend. It's addictive. It's addictive. It's wonderful. The pinnacle. The thrust of what James is saying. Christians don't live a deceptive life. You know, our Christian life ought not to be weighed up on scales. You know, like the world tries to weigh up their good and bad to get to heaven. The Christian can live a deceitful life like the Galatians were living, thinking that they're going to be made perfect in the flesh by saying, look how many things I'm doing this week for the Lord. But what does God require? Obedience. What does God want to do in you? The children of Israel were deceived. Time and time again they were deceived. The word of God to them was like entertainment. There are people that will agree with their message, but many people won't obey the word of God. And God warned the prophet Ezekiel against being deceived by the children of Israel. They might agree with you, but they're not living it. They like to listen, but not apply the word of God. They appreciated the eloquence of Ezekiel's prophecy, but rejected the reality of the message. Have a look in Ezekiel 33. Have a look. Look at verse 31. And they came unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words. But what happens? But they will not do them. They will not do them. For with their mouth, look at this, they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. With their mouth, they show much love, but their hearts are far from God. Living out there in covetousness. Have a look. And lo, verse 32, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. You know what, Ezekiel? All you are to them is like an entertainer. All you are to the children of Israel is them. But that's it. That's it. That's all. Oh, wow. And God says, don't be deceived, Ezekiel. They're not doing it. May God help us not be deceived, thinking the wow is enough. that have come and have heard a good message, that's enough. No, listen, it needs to penetrate. The engrafted word needs to bud. I need to receive the engrafted word, and then I need to live out what God is doing in my heart. It needs to bud, flourish, be fruitful. It needs to take place, rooted down. It's there. But God wants me to take action. Else I am being deceived. I'm living a deceitful life. Have a look in Isaiah as well. Isaiah chapter 30. The word of God is not just given to encourage people in their rebellion, by the way. We have a lot of people that encourage people in their rebellion. I had it just last week, trying to deal with a matter biblically, and this other person comes from nowhere and trying to justify the rebellion heart of a person. The word of God is not given to encourage rebellion. The word of God is given for reproof and instruction and inspiration by God to get the perfect matured. But people use the word of God to encourage others in their rebellion. It makes God sick, folks. I'm telling you the truth. Look at Isaiah in the Isaiah days. Have a look. Isaiah 30, verse 9. And what does God say about these people? This is a rebellious people. Lying children. Children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Which say to the seers, see not. What's going on? Hey, Isaiah, turn a blind eye. Pretend you didn't see it. See not. Don't want to know what happened. I have to deal with it. See not. But every single prophet of God that saw what God saw had to deal with it. Right. Yes, my friend. But today it's used to encourage people in their sin. It's wrong. Especially for a person that knows better. Have a look. And to the prophets prophesy. Look at what he says in verse 10. And to the prophets prophesy not unto us right things. Look at this. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceit. Can you believe that the people went and stooped that low to say, I want you to tell us what we want to hear, and I want you to tell us lies. Hey, don't, Isaiah, don't tell us that there's going to be judgment if we don't do what God wants us to do. No. Tell us we'll be okay. No. Do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. Will not. The whole tragedy of our fallen race was because of the disobedience of one man. And God didn't let it go 6,000 years ago, my friend. He's not going to let it go today. Mark it down. Yep. God's not going to be mocked. But no. I want you to just tell us to please just... Can't you preach something that's beautiful to our ears? Yeah, well, this is what the day that we're living, that Paul says to Timothy. This is the day that we're living in. Preachers getting behind the pulpit, tickle, tickle, tickle with a feather, having itching ears. Yep. They will not endure sound doctrine. Now, what are they going to turn to? They're going to turn to fables, lies. Yes. And the prosperity gospel's a lie, my friends. The church that doesn't practice church discipline is a lie. Yes. The church that doesn't preach and practice holiness is a lie. Because that's what the whole 95% of the New Testament epistles were about, for us to live a holy life as believers. It wasn't written to the unbelievers, my friend. 95% of the epistles were written to us that we would know how to live as Christians. We would not live in rebellion as new believers, that we would live according to the world and the will of God, now being the children of God, the children of light, not the children of darkness. Am I running out of time over here? What time is it? Okay. One more, two more passages and we're done. Quickly, King Saul lived a life of deception. Have a look at 1 Samuel 15. Wherefore then, remember... You know the story about King Saul? Remember when God says specifically and very clearly and very detailed, listen, King Saul, get rid of everything. I don't want you leave nothing. I want you to utterly destroy everything there. Amalekites, all the animals. And you know what King Saul did? He left the good cattle, the flock, the herds. He left it. And his excuse was, I left these to sacrifice to you, God. You know, I'm just doing my own thing because I just want to serve you and sacrifice to you. What did he say? Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? Notice what King Saul said. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me. Did he? Partially. And have brought Agag and the king of Amalek and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Yeah, but what about the rest? Deception. Oh, we want the direct commands of the Bible. But what about the rest, Christian? What about living in the liberty that God has set us free, walking in the Spirit, that God uses the Word to transform our mind and hearts, that we would be a people that is peculiar? You know, someone that half-heartedly obeys God lives in deception. And majority of the time, they're weighing up the scales of what they're doing for God. King Saul, look what I am doing for God. And God says, I'm not interested in your sacrifice. I just want you to obey. And if you're walking in the Spirit of God, that Spirit of God will show you passages and principles from the Word. Even your time, even just watching the simple news, God will say, Charlie, that's enough. Who would ever thought you'd be convicted about watching the news? But that's the Spirit of God. So wasting time, Charlie. You're wasting time. That's enough. You're going behind the headlines. You want to see what's taking place in the world? Good on you. But one link leads to another link. And before you know it, you're gone. And you're all over the place of YouTube. And all of a sudden you see, oh, what's that? By the way, that's how it's designed. It's designed for you and I to click on it and see what that is. And that leads to another one. And then guess what? Your whole work is delayed. Your walk with God is hindered. Your prayer time is cut short. Yeah, but, you know, I went soul winning, see. Don't weigh it up. God wants to do far more than you want to do in your life, man. Don't weigh it up. Don't put it on the scale. That's the Galatian heresy. God wants to do a work by the Spirit of God through the law of the liberty in your life far more than what you can do. And don't be deceived. God is not looking for half-hearted. He's looking for a heart that's fully surrendered and submitted to the Holy Spirit of God in the Word of God. I'm going to close with what Jesus said. I think this really concludes the whole sermon of what Jesus said. In Luke chapter 11, have a look. Luke chapter 11, look at verse 27 and 28. And it came to pass, as he spoke these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the pups that which thou hast sucked. But look what he said here. You know what they were saying? Wow, what a blessed woman was Mary, that she nursed the Messiah. What an honor. Hey, by the way, that was an honor. I mean, we can't kid ourselves. That is an honor. Blessed is that woman among all women that God will choose her to nurse and rear up the Messiah, our Savior. But notice the response of Jesus. But Jesus said rather, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. They're the ones that are going to be blessed. You can do a good, even calling. God's called you to it. God's appointed you to do it. He's separated you to the work It's a calling. It's good. It's honorable. But God is looking for continual obedience. Continual. Continue. Else we'll be deceived. As you have been obeying, listen, continue to obey what you hear, and you'll be blessed.